This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. This Day in Sports History. Hey, and welcome to another edition of This Day in Sports History. It's May 16th, and on this day in 1980, Magic Johnson showed just how versatile he could really be. It was Game 6 of the NBA Finals. The Lakers had the 3-2 series lead on the Philadelphia 76ers after Kareem Abdul-Jabbar poured in 40 points using his unguardable skyhook to perfection in Game 5. But Kareem had also sprained his ankle badly, and instead of making the trip to Philadelphia for Game 6, he stayed in LA to rest it and get ready for a probable Game 7. Magic Johnson was a rookie this season, and, you know, this was Kareem's team. The offense flowed around him, but with Kareem not making the trip, Magic was asked to fill the void, and he was asked to do it in more ways than one. First off, when the team boarded the charter to Philly, Kareem's customary seat at the front of the plane was obviously empty, and Magic, seeing this as an opportunity, shouted to the guys on the plane, "Never fear, Magic is here," and he sat down in Kareem's seat. Some of the guys laughed that off, others saw it as a bit of young kid bravado, but it did send a message to the team. And then Coach Paul Westhead told Magic that he was going to jump center to start the game. The point guard, jumping center. I mean, he is a 6'9 point guard, sure, but still.
A young man by the name of Magic Johnson is going to start at center.
Magic down the middle. Magic pumps for the layup and drew the foul.
Magic's hot and he knows it.
Oh, what a pass to Cooper who scores!
The Lakers changed up their offense since they didn't have Kareem to rely on, so they pushed the pace and the Sixers matched it with the score tied at 60 at the break. But out of the locker room to start the third, the Lakers scored 14 unanswered to put some distance between them and the Sixers.
Magic, one has to work. So beautiful pass by the rookie.
Here comes the 20-year-old rookie down the middle. Dawkins went to him and scored and sent him to the line.
The Lakers made sure that no Game 7 was needed, and they would be going back to L.A. alone with the championship trophy, winning 123-107.
There it is. It's over, and the most valuable player Magic Johnson, 42 points, 15 rebounds, and 7 assists. He starts at center, plays forward and guard, and leads the Los Angeles Lakers to a world championship without Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Magic called this game the greatest game he ever played, and when you consider all the titles and fantastic games that he played in his career, that is saying something. Also, as is typical with games like this, one guy who gets overlooked is Jamal Wilkes. Wilkes had championship experience with the Golden State Warriors when they won the title back in 75, and he knew what to do. Wilkes scored 37 points in this one, 25 of those coming in the second half, to spark the run and keep the Sixers at arm's length. And just like Magic, Wilkes called this his best and most memorable game of his career. Also on this day in 1999, it was the 8th-seeded New York Knicks on the road at top-seed Miami for a decisive Game 5 in the first round of the NBA Finals. The Heat had been huge favorites heading into the series, but now with a winner move on, loser gets the golf clubs out of the garage kind of a game, the Heat was... The pressure was high. Yeah, that works better. And with about 10 minutes left in the game, it looked like Miami would be moving on to the next round. A 7-point lead with 10 to go isn't insurmountable or comfortable, but things were going their way until they weren't. The Knicks whittled that lead down to 1 with 20 seconds to play, and they had the ball. after Terry Porter slapped the ball out of Latrell Sprewell's hands with 4.5 seconds to play, all Miami needed to do was shut down Patrick Ewing and Spree and all was going to be well. But they forgot about Allen Houston. Well, with Houston hitting just one of his 7 shots on the night, well, the Heat could leave him open. Heck, let him take the shot even. But Houston drove the ball between 2 Heat defenders, and he put up a 10-foot running one-hander, not the highest percentage shot on the planet. But the ball hit the front iron, the backboard hung in the air for what seemed like minutes before falling through for the game winner. The shot surprised just about everybody, including Houston, who had not hit a game-winning shot since his college days back in Tennessee. For the Heat, it was more disappointment. It was the second straight year that they had been bounced from the first round of the playoffs by New York, and the 3rd in 4 tries that they had failed to make it to the second round. The Knicks would surprise a lot of people that year, streaking all the way to the finals as the 8th seed before losing to the San Antonio Spurs. In 1976, it was the Montreal Canadiens beating up on the Boardwalk Bullies with a 5-3 win to complete the 4-game sweep over the Philadelphia Flyers and win the Stanley Cup for the 18th time. The Canadiens were hard to beat that year. They only lost 11 games in the regular season, and they raced through the playoffs, losing just 1 game out of 13. But consider this the reignition of the Canadiens. This team built off the success they had in 76, and they got better. The 76-77 edition of the Canadiens is considered by a lot of folks to be the best hockey team of all time. They won 60 games in the regular season on the way to their 2nd straight cup, and they would eventually win 4 straight, all under the direction of Scotty Bowman. And that string of titles got started on this day in 1976. In 1939, it was the first night game played in the American League. Shibe Park in Philadelphia was the venue as the Athletics welcomed Cleveland to town. The Indians scored 5 of the 10th to spoil the night, though, with an 8-3 win. And in 1981, Betty Ellis became the first female to referee a professional soccer match in the U.S. She worked as an assistant referee running the line in a North American Soccer League match between Portland and Calgary in Santa Rosa, California. And just like female athletes competing with men, like I talked about with the first female jockey who competed at the Kentucky Derby, Diane Crump, Ellis faced a lot of misogynistic harassment, like fans yelling, "Go back to the kitchen!" to which her kids, sitting in the stands, would yell back, "She's great in the kitchen, too!" She worked in the NASL until it folded in 1984, and then moved on to ref in the major indoor soccer league after that. And time now for today's non-sports Did You Know? There are 10 trillion different combinations in the first 10 moves in chess. That's all for today. I'll see you tomorrow for another go-round on This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans.
We've got some exciting news to share with you. 6 of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote, cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all 6 of them. Again, every vote counts, and we gotta show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You gotta go vote now. That's over at sports.historynetwork.com/vote.